Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for life and health and strength that we taste the sunshine. And I pray, please, Lord, for our brothers and sisters, wherever they might be this morning. If your good hand upon us, Lord, for a lifting up, for a cheering, for a strengthening and a comforting, for an edifying, Father, and Lord, even a straightening out if we need it. But Father, we pray most of all for your will to be done. Lord, we want for you to be one of our number. Lord, to bless the time in your presence and around your word. And that you would find the lifting up of our praises and prayers and our fellowship and our tithes and our offerings and our reading and teaching and preaching of your word. Lord, you would find it all done according to your will. Please lead us and guide us and inspire us, I pray, this morning. And Lord, I pray for the whole of Derry, for the whole of this country, for the countries around the world and the leaders of them, for a great conviction upon each and every soul, Lord. Please save souls. Lord, we leave this at your feet. Pray that you would grant our prayer requests for lost loved ones and friends and neighbours, and Lord, for your will to be done. We ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hymn number 10 in the wee books, if you want to take your wee black book. And we'll remain seated as we sing Thine Be the Glory, hymn number 10. Let's make a joyful noise. Not that one.
Thank you.
to start with. If you want to take, go to your big hymn books and turn to 192, and we'll sing Ring the Bells of Heaven. 192. You're able to stand as we sing.
Then, 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, and I went up by revelation and communicated with them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, and they might bring us into bondage, to whom we give place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these, who seem to be somewhat whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of circumcision was unto Peter, For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. But then Peter was come to Antioch. I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. But before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature, and not sinners of Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ and the minister of sin, God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live not yet, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not forfeit the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Amen.
Good verses there. Whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, once you're saved, you're saved. That's the long and short of it. Everything else, of course, then is entirely up to you. We appreciate that. I just want to remind everybody of the little pumpkin coloured prayer lists. If you have anything that you would like to add to that prayer list, let me know and make sure that I write it down, or say to Monica and make sure she writes it down. I would be the one that would be most likely to forget it, so make sure I write it down. If there are not anything else, I would just there was a prayer request for Wills and Fiona, and she was in for trouble with her kidney and her bones and was suffering from skin cancer. Thankfully, I think the skin cancer can be managed. The other tests, kidneys and the bones came back okay, didn't they?
It's just the kidney and basically a stone and gallbladder.
So possibly a gallbladder removal, which I find to be not very pleasant, but that is a different story altogether. Please do pray for Wills and Fiona. If you remember William that has joined us a few times, that would be his mum. So please do pray for William and Rachel and their family, and of course his dad and his mum. It affects everybody in the family, so please do pray for them. Please also remember Pat and Steve. We don't have them with us this morning. Christy and Taylor and Esther and Frank. We don't have Frank with us, but we will in the next week or so. So please do pray for him as he finishes off his school term and does a bit of travelling back and forth. So please do remember that. Of course, Christmas is coming up. Two Wednesdays. Is it two Wednesdays away?
A week from Wednesday.
from Wednesday, about 10 days from today, we'll be having a wee Christmas supper. So you're very welcome to come along if you want to bring something. I think there's a list up at the back. You're very welcome to. If you have a favourite thing that you want to share with everybody, I'm willing to give it a shot. So bring it along and I'll give you marks out of 10. You like the figure skaters? I won't do that. But please do pray about that. I'd also like to just mention that I had a phone call last night from a gentleman that appeared a couple of times at the church asking if we would open the church for a prayer meeting before church this evening, David King. I'm putting you all in the full picture. He landed on Thursday or Friday, and he said that the Lord had put it upon his heart to leave to give us £100, which I refused, but he insisted. So it's in the plate tonight, today, and I thought that's very altruistic, that's very charitable of him. And then I got a phone call last night that he was looking to use the church for a prayer meeting. Please do pray about that. All being well, it'll be happening at about 6:30. It'll run on for 15 or 20 minutes, and then we will be having our church service afterwards, all being well. So I would ask that you would pray about that. David King has a very charismatic, tongues, healing, laying on of hands. I do believe he's saved, but I don't believe any of the other stuff that he's involved with. So far, I have had 3 people, I think, lay hands on me to charismatically heal me of my aches and pains. I still have them. The only person that has ever laid hands on me to heal me of my aches and pains is Ling's husband, Dr. Chang. That did work. So I'm thankful for it. So please do pray for David King and the whole family. Some of his family has actually COVID and they're up on a ward in the hospital. So he has a genuine need for prayer. Just pray about that situation. It does mean that we may have to call for anybody that needs a lift half an hour earlier than usual. So instead of maybe, about 6:20 I'm normally calling, it might be 6:00. So I'll let you know. He's to let me know this afternoon, and we will see how that goes. Bethel will not be drawn into any charismatic practices. There will not be any speaking in tongues unless Ling decides to get up and give us John 3:16 in her native Chinese, or anybody knows it in French or German. Yes, you're very welcome, because I probably could follow along with those. Latin might be a bit tricky for me, because my Latin's about 40 years out of date. Although Latin itself is, nearly 2,000 years out of date, but that's neither here nor there. There will be no laying on of hands except to pat Steve on the shoulder or shake hands with folks. So the Lord said everything should be done in his house decently and in order, as in all the churches of the saints, and that's the way it will be. So pray for wisdom, pray for the Lord's will to be done, and for David and his family at this time. Just want to thank everybody that has lent a hand with the sorting out of the church. It is not finished, as you can see. We're still shy about 7 windows. We hope we're going to be, Norman and I are taking a break over the next month or so. And then there is internal work to be done. As you can see, the inside of the church took a bit of a battering whenever we were fixing the outside of the church. But that will be taking place, and we'll give you a good notice on that. I just want to let you know of everything that's going on. But I think that's about that. We had good weather for most of the days. We got plenty done. And we're glad of all your prayers, your financial and your elbow grease support. Thank you very much indeed. You can have a break from praying for that. But we will be asking for your prayers again in the up and coming months. I really think that's about that. Keep praying for absent brethren. Keep praying for the outreach. I am hoping over Christmas we'll maybe get an opportunity to go up to the car park with a megaphone and and see if they're still locking people up for that in Derry. But we'll give it a shot and see. Pray for each other, for our country, for our church, for the up and coming season. It's supposed to be about the Lord Jesus Christ entering into the world. I can really see that there's not very much of that going on. It's mostly about how much stuff people can gather to themselves. But please do pray. A lot to pray for. Glad that Charlotte with us this morning. Hoping that it'll be a more permanent fixture with her shift changes in one thing and another. And do pray for Colin. He's starting a new job tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. According to him, after his manager has finished shouting at everybody else at work. So please do pray for Colin tomorrow morning. Amen. I think that's about that. Is there anything else we need to be adding? Are we all good? Okay. Well, would you lead us in a wee word of prayer, and then we'll sing another hymn or two. Thank you, Lord.
Dear Father, thank you for bringing safety and security into your hospital today, Lord. Well, Lord, we're blessed to have this covered in Jerry Hospital to represent the Lord today, Lord. Lord, we've had some problems with Mary, Lord, and the lady managed to love with many trouble, Lord. That's our plan. Bless him and keep him, Lord. And provide for him and keep him as well, Lord. With Frankie's over in London, Frank was over in London, have him complete his semester of university, Lord. Keep him safe and well, Lord. Bless him, Lord, and the Lord, and keep him generous and bring him back to the church, Lord, for my honor and for my glory. I thank you for Charlotte and Colin that's here today, Lord. Bless him. Bless him for their attendance, Lord, and help them on their walk with thee, Lord. And pray for him and keep him safe, Lord, as well. Remember McMahon's, Lord, pray for him, keep him safe, Lord. With Stephen, Colin, and John, save their souls, Lord, and save them mightily and partly by the blood of the Lamb, Lord. Christine Taylor is over from the States, Lord, live with many trouble, Lord. Give him general mercies, help him on the paperwork and the red tape, Lord. Solve many problems, Lord, and help Christy complete thesis, and also help him keep top of his job, Lord. Pray with him and keep him as well, Lord. Pray for Esther as she's out at her house, Lord. Help her, pray for her as she listens to the ministry through the CDs, Lord. Live with many trouble, Lord. Help her in her friends, Lord. Live with many trouble, Lord. And bless her and keep her, Lord. Bring her to church next point, thankfully, Lord. Right, Lord. With Pat and Steve, Lord, help them both with their diabetes, give them respite, give them rest, Lord, give them support, Lord. And Lord, help Steve in his infirmities, Lord, his fixes, Lord, help him and heal him, Lord, especially his heart and his angina, Lord. Lord, help him provide for him, Lord, bring him to the highest point of time as well, Lord. With John Bradfield, deliver from any trouble, Lord, bring him a closer walk with thee, Lord, and give us this day, Lord. Give the ministry tonight, Lord, and help everything that's become worthy and truly for the prayer meeting, Lord. And save souls, Lord, bring those that are saved, Lord, close to thee, Lord, and bring those that are lost, Lord, bring touch them with the Spirit, Lord, and bring them to the foot of the Lord, cross and lay their sins at the foot of the cross, Lord, and save their souls, Lord. Bless this day, Lord, with Mark, as he comes to preach the gospel, Lord, both tonight and today, Lord, and Lord, reach out and touch our souls, touch our hearts, Lord, and bring us more light in thee with thy word and with thy will, for thy honor, for thy glory, for Jesus Christ, amen.
Thanks, Lord. Right. Take your hymn books again, if you would. Turn to 194 then, wasn't it? 194, since Jesus came into my heart. We'll stand as we sing hymn number 194.
Jesus came into my heart. I have lied.
Practice in for our Christmas hymns. 76, Will, wasn't it? Once in Royal David's City.
Yes, right.
76 in the wee black books, if you'd like to take and turn there, and then after we've sung that, I'll give your voices a rest, and now that mine is warmed up, I'll cut mine loose. That'll be after this. Once in Royal David's City. Amen. Glad to have each one of you here this morning. There are many places in the world where not so very long ago, if you went 10 miles from here and tried to go to church on a Sunday, you could be arrested for it. And that's in Ireland. How's about that for a turn up for the books? The assault hasn't stopped. Every time a new variant of this COVID-19 is discovered, there is someone in government looking for an excuse to lock down or to stop any public gatherings whatsoever. Strangely enough, it's one of the things that's mentioned in the Word of God in the New Testament, that we should make every effort that we can to get into church. Every effort, never forsaking the gathering of ourselves together. Very, very important. Amen. Amen. Mark chapter 3, beginning at verse number 22. The Word of God says, And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, He hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. And he called them unto him, and said unto them in parables, How can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Verily, I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation, because they said he hath an unclean spirit. There came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. And the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, Behold, thy mother and brethren without seek for thee. And he answered them, saying, Who is my mother, or my brethren? And he looked round about on them which sat about him, and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother. Amen. I'm going to give you the title, and you'll probably be able to pick out the verses that we're taking as our text this morning. It's United We Stand. I don't know if anybody ever heard the little ditty where it says, divided we fall, united we stand, divided we fall, over the banister into the hall. You ever hear that last bit? I was going to put the last bit as the title, but I thought, you know, maybe that doesn't send the right message, but there you go. United we stand. We're taking the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, verses 23 through 29, give or take, as our text this morning, and we're speaking on the subject of United We Stand. Let's have another quick word of prayer, and then we'll continue. Heavenly Father, we're glad for the time to be able to, and the voices to be able to lift up your praises, Lord. We're glad for the ability, Lord, to lead tithes, to offer up prayers, to be here, Lord. The number of obstacles already that have been placed in our way and have been overcome, Lord, just thank you. And I pray, Father, please, that you'd work in each one of our hearts and minds, that you would edify each and every one of us, Lord, that you would even give me the words to speak. I really do need that, Lord. In fact, I depend upon it. Please, Father, be one of our number. Sit beside us, put your arm around us, Lord, whisper in our ear, and let us pay attention to that still small voice of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Father, thank you for keeping your word for us, and thank you for securing our souls, for our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Most importantly, Lord, for the great free gift of everlasting life. We love you and praise you. We just thank you, Father, for your patience and your forgiveness and all the blessings that you give us, Lord, day by day. And we just leave these things at your feet. We thank you for them, Lord, and ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. United we stand. Let's have a look at the scriptures. Very quick run through, and then we will then we'll get into the message proper. As is, and to still today, and often was back in the days whenever the Lord walked in the face of the earth, the religious people were always his greatest detractors, his greatest enemies. And it wasn't for anything we know that the Lord did. We know that it wasn't for anything that he did, but for the jealousy of the religious people losing their followings, that they committed him to the cross and had him crucified. Not for anything he had done. He was a sinless, perfect man who offered up his immortality and power as the full and complete payment for our sins. That was taken and given and accepted. 2,000 years ago. They came down, and after he had, I'm just looking right across the page to Mark chapter 2, verse number 10, it says, he healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him to touch him. As many as had plagues and unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. And he straightly charged them that they should not make him known. The Lord was always doing stuff. And it wasn't just ordinary stuff. It was supernatural. It was miraculous stuff. I want you to notice two things about it at every time. It was always for the betterment of people, individuals, families, and it was always to bring the glory to God. It wasn't to bring glory to men, it wasn't to bring glory to Mary or a pope or the leader of a denomination. It was to bring glory to God, because there is no leader in any denomination that can save your soul. It's Christ and Him alone. Even the scribes and the Pharisees, deep in their sin and their jealousy and their pride, were still able to say, who can forgive sins but God only? So they said, you're really the devil, aren't you? And the only reason that you're able to cast out devils is because you're the prince of devils. And Jesus said, really? Is that the best you've got? You are not even thinking, but you're saying that a kingdom that sets out against itself is going to stand. It's going to work. And that has never worked ever in the whole history of mankind, that any army out fighting against another army that suddenly turned on its own army ever succeeded, ever won a battle. It just never works. Now, I'm sure as Norman and I have been working on the church, we have had a few discussions about the current political situation, especially in America. And I would like for you to notice that these souls that are set out against everything that's good and proper have eventually turned upon themselves and started eating themselves alive. Many of the people that they depended upon to forward their propaganda have now come under the microscope and been found sorely wanting and are under criminal proceedings for their behavior. A kingdom that is divided against itself simply can't stand. Give me 2 seconds. If I can find that wasp, it won't be there anymore. On the windowsill? Not anymore. That wasn't so much of a wasp. That was more like a World War II bomber, the amount of noise that it was making. There's going to be somebody says, how can you as a pastor kill a wasp in the middle of the service? It's quite easy. You get a good swing with not too heavy an object. But I don't mind bees. They'll not bother you. But wasps, they'll sting you just for the devilment of it. Anyway, we're talking about United We Stand. And the conversation that went back and forth between the religious people accusing Jesus of working for the devil, even as he was casting out devils from hundreds, maybe even thousands of souls. And he made this comment that it doesn't work. If you work against yourself, you are not going to be able to succeed. If an army works against itself, it's not going to succeed. If a country works against itself, it's not going to succeed. We can see that from our current politics as well. And then he goes on to say, and it might seem like a turn to the left or a turn to the right. He says, you can't get into a strong man's house and steal his goods unless you bind the strong man. I got to thinking, that seems like a complete departure of what he was talking about. But he's still talking about the same thing. He's talking about security. He's talking about stability. And he says, and he's really, what he's talking about here is you and me. He's talking about people being possessed of devils, not home security. He's not talking about getting cameras up on the walls and infrared sensors that trigger when you walk past them. He's talking about your spiritual security. And many times in the Word of God, we are referred to as buildings. The man that builds his house upon the sand, that house is his life. But the Word of God also calls us the temple of the Holy Spirit, you that are saved, but warns us very strongly that if you defile it, God will destroy you. So he says, you be careful, Christian, what you do with your life. If you start monkeying about, you really are working against yourself. It's not referring to keeping robbers out or burglars. It's referring to keeping harmful influences out. And the thing about it is, those harmful influences, they always come wrapped up in shiny wrapping paper with a nice bow and a nice little greeting card from the world, the flesh and the devil, telling you that this is wonderful and that you should enjoy this. And people let these things into their lives. We're talking about alcohol, we're talking about drugs, violence, profanity, blasphemy, immorality. People let these things into their lives, even and think that their lives are going to be okay, and they are not. The world, even in our company, is full of examples of people that have countenanced sin, that have let it into their lives and become comfortable with it, and it really does suck them down. It hampers them. It ties them up. The Word of God says that we should abstain even from the appearance of evil. Now, lost people really don't have a choice. They don't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. They don't have God tapping them on the shoulder to say, look, should you really be working that way? And you might say, God doesn't really tap you on the shoulder. God really does tap you on the shoulder. Your shoulder is the conscience that God gave you, and God will use that in conjunction with the Holy Spirit to say to you, you shouldn't be doing that, or keep doing that. And years ago, before I went full-time into the ministry, of a Friday afternoon, or a Thursday afternoon, because Friday afternoon people scarpered off home, after 1:15, that was clothing industry hours back in Derry in the day, we would meet up once every month or two in a local cafe or restaurant. And this one particular time, it was one of the pubs down on, I think it was the Ross Downey Road. And I had chicken enchiladas, and they were lovely. One chicken enchilada and one beef enchilada. A lovely wrap, and spicy, and it was beautiful. Heartburn guaranteed afterwards, but it was really good. And the Lord literally said to me, whilst I was looking round at the rest of the folks, Mark, you really shouldn't be here. And as soon as we went back to the office, I said, guys, the Lord's really been working in my heart, and I really can't be going back to a pub to be eating in it. And they said, that's fine. And from there on in, we went to cafes. It was down in Drumahoe, and we got an upstairs table. And I thought that was good. That was quite painless, until I found out then that everybody else was meeting up on Friday evenings for wine and cheese, and yours truly didn't get invited. And that hurt a wee bit. But I kept on with the Lord. We are to be mindful of those things that come across our paths. When a lost soul has things come across their paths, they will think, oh, that's not a bad idea. Everybody else is doing it. It sounds good. I think it might even make me feel good. I think I will do it. They come across the paths of saved folks too. But lost folks will go out and do it because everybody else is doing it. A saved soul should say, hold on a wee second. What does God say about that? Can I honestly start talking about the Lord Jesus Christ whenever I am doing whatever it is I'm being tempted or directed to do? And if truth be told, I am sure there are quite a few things that Christians shouldn't be doing, but because everybody else is doing it and they want to sort of blend in, to vanilla in with everybody else, they go and do it. I remember going to a Christian stag do, and we went walking up the hills down south and then went into a pub for food. There was nowhere else, and I begrudgingly stayed outside, went to the pub for the food, but I wouldn't go into the pub to drink. But there was all the other men that were supposedly Christians sitting in a pub drinking, and I looked at the other tables and I thought, there is not one difference between that table of men that profess to know Jesus Christ as their Savior and those other people that are certainly lost. Something wrong with this picture. The Bible says, as a Christian, the Holy Spirit is the strong man in your house. It also says, I think it's in Romans 8, that if God is for you, who can be against you? Literally, there is nobody that can force you to do anything. And you will still have the right thing to do in front of you, in the Word of God, hopefully in your heart and mind. So you can choose. You have the option. Lost soul is nobody protecting them, but a saved soul has the Holy Spirit sealing them and keeping them until the day that they stand in glory in front of God. We ought to think about that. Anyway, as we go on through the towards the end of the scriptures, we have something that a lot of lost people just can't quite fathom. They have the difference between the family of man and the family of God. And as the Lord was completely surrounded by people, a little bit like the incident whenever we had the man being dropped down, dropping the man with the infirmity down through the roof, the place was jammed with folks wanting to be touched, to be healed. They said, look, your mum and your brothers are outside, your family, they're outside. And he said, who is my family? Who's my brother? Who's my mother? And he looked around at the folks and he said, those people that do the will of my Father which is in heaven, they are the same as my mother and my brother. And I don't mean anything bad about my family, but I have found that my Christian family is more agreeable to me than my own flesh and blood family. I love them, but for the general thought processes and day-to-day things that go on, my family in Christ, they're the ones that I feel most in common with, if that makes sense. I hope it does. And you might think, well, that sort of cuts out your family. That doesn't really. It doesn't really. I want you to bear in mind that in the three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the Lord made a beautiful promise. And he said, if anybody forsakes family, friends, jobs, livelihoods, lands, houses, anything like that, he will receive 100-fold in this world. Lands, houses, brothers, sisters, fathers, mothers, wives, children, etc., etc. I'm not talking about getting married lots and lots of times, but you get the idea. You will have a family that is much, much, much bigger and much more widespread through Jesus Christ. It makes a difference. What's the old saying? Blood is thicker than water. And people use that to stick with family, even if family is wrong. I want to tell you something else. The blood of Jesus Christ is thicker again. Blood of Jesus Christ that binds us more tightly than any man's blood ever could, than any bond. Just want you to remember that. Anyway, we're talking about United We Stand. That's our wee bit of Bible study. We're still in good time, don't worry. We'll have us out of here before lunch. That's technically correct. We could be here till 2 o'clock and it would still be before your lunch. But one of the greatest things that the world, the flesh, and the devil tries to do and is trying to do and has been spectacularly successful at just this last 2 years is to separate people. Is that not correct? They've separated families. They've separated churches. They've separated school children. They've separated everybody. The old and the young, the loved and not so loved. They've made a point of making sure that people can't be together. They have used every single thing that they can. They have used this flu virus that is out there, Corona 19. There was a Corona 18 and I think possibly a 17 and a 16 and a 15 and a 14. Flus are coronaviruses. But giving it this grand name and keeping repeating it over and over again has done what, the world, the flesh and the devil couldn't do before that. Actually shut the churches. Who would have thought that something you can't see would shut a church? But there you go. People have been divided by this the past couple of years, but even before that, by politics. Do you remember the Brexit? And there was a great hoo-ha made about, even in homes, different people believed differently, and people felt free to get quite irate about it and quite angry. They divided families. Skin colour. That divides people as well. We don't have to go very much farther than turning on the TV to find out that Black Lives Matter. And it seems that, according to the press, that nobody else does. Language separates people. Of course, we have religion in this country. It has forever been Protestant or Catholic. And now we have gender separating people. There's always been men and women, but now people get bent out of shape, if you'll forgive me for using the term. Because certain men want to be women and certain women want to be men, and they are now more important than everybody else in the world. And what folks don't understand is whether you're rich or poor, black or white, foreign or English speaking, whether you're Protestant, Catholic, Muslim, Jehovah's Witness, or anything else in this world, there's only one degree of separation. And that is, you're either saved or you're lost. That's all that the God of this universe sees. You're either saved or you're lost. There's only two things. The sheep and the goats. You're saved or you're lost. It says in Amos chapter 3, how can two walk together except they be agreed? And I would go so far as to say that, and I know you'll probably agree with me, but I got saved. My life hasn't become perfect. Why is that? And I would like to give you a few of these thoughts. It's because of separation. It's because people are not getting together. First one is separation from God. That will certainly leave you a lost soul, wandering around from pillar to post, for the rest of your life, as it says in James chapter 1, just like a wave of the sea tossed to and fro with the wind. And you know what? I wouldn't want that for anybody. I like having a purpose. And I like having an idea of what I am going to do, especially if it's God's plan. You're a mug if you don't get saved. It's one of the stupidest decisions you will ever make in your life, to refuse Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because it costs you nothing and it takes up no space in your life. No matter where you go or what you do, you can't lose it. It's free. It's forever. It's for sure. Jesus paid for it. And guess what? You can't get into heaven without it. Why would you not take it? You literally, as the Bible says, you would have to be a fool to say no. So don't be a fool. Don't be a mug. Open yourself up to the Lord Jesus Christ and give him the opportunity to give you peace and purpose and overcoming power and all the many blessings, comforts, and times of great loss. Let God into your life. The next one that certain Christians a lot is people being separated from God's word. That's always a big mistake. Because in God's word, you'll find the presence of God. You'll find fuel for your prayers. You'll find overcoming power whenever you do things God's way. You'll find the greatest and the most noble of purposes, which is seeking and saving that which is lost. You will find your brethren and your family. You know how many Christians in the formative years of the churches in the centuries, early centuries after Jesus Christ went back up into heaven. Do you know how Christians knew each other? They would be talking and they would maybe drop into a conversation a half a verse of scripture. And it could have been from, I was going to say from any of the Testaments, it would have been from the Old Testament, or maybe some of the early letters. Do you know how that person knew if the other person was a Christian? They would complete the verse of scripture. And it grabbed a hold of people in their lives. It constrained them when it came to doing things. It forbade them whenever it came to them doing bad things. It comforted them whenever they suffered loss. And sometimes that wouldn't be just some money or a loved one. That could be the loss of their whole livelihoods. Because many Christians came under such severe persecution. Even to the loss of their own lives and those of their families. The word of God is meat and potatoes for the Christian life. Did anybody eat anything this morning? Did we all fuel the old man? I know Norman did. If Norman's anything on a Sunday morning like he is every other morning, there was at least 2 eggs in the pan. Maybe a bit of bread and some sausages and bacon and a couple of cups of tea. Everybody, I know Monica did, I had my breakfast burrito and Monica had what she calls our fried rice with a bit of chicken and egg and peppers and stuff in it. We fueled the old man. We made sure the old man was able to get out the door and drive the car without our heads going light and getting weak at the steering wheel. We made sure of that, but yet, as Christians, we so often don't feed the new man. We are body, soul, and spirit. We feed our bodies. We ought to feed our souls. And what did the Lord say when the devil tempted him? He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. There is a portion of scripture for every situation in your life. Even if it's only supping and resting. Remember what the Lord said? Come apart into a desert place and rest a while, because they had no opportunity even to sit and eat and drink. We need to be up to date with the Word of God. Up to date? There are not any new revisions or anything like that. It's just we need to keep fueled up with the Word of God. Keep in it. A lot of people believe that just getting saved is all that you need for things to go well. And they will go well in eternity. But you have a whole life to lead before you get there. You're going to need God's advice. Here's one that's maybe not so popular and not so thought of, but a lot of times Christians are not singing those old songs anymore. They're singing this new, airy, fairy, candy floss, Mars bar music that's all, hey, amen, amen. And they sing that for like 10 minutes. And you're thinking, right, what? It's called contemporary Christian music. And it's songs without any fabric or substance. You read the old songs and you read about the Lord coming down to Royal David's city. You read about the Lord giving his life on the cross of Calvary. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not, my Lord, for me he died. When you sing the old songs, you are literally singing the gospel message. You are singing about the commandments. You are singing about God's doctrines. And if you ask any teacher, if you ask any parent, children find it easier to remember things when there's a tune to it. And we do too. It's almost like you have 2 temp pegs holding your temp down. The Bible says everything that has breath should praise the Lord, and we should make a joyful noise. The Lord is not praised by vain repetitions, neither is he touched by them. The Bible says the heathen think they will be heard for their much speaking, but the Lord says nope. Separation from what we know and what we do, in other words, being a hypocrite. We ought to be careful of that. If I was to run through all the commandments here, we would all agree with them and we would know them. About idols, about not worshipping or praising other gods, about not taking the Lord's name in vain, about not committing adultery, not lying, not killing, about not coveting other people's stuff, about obeying your mom and dad, honouring your mom and dad. And there's one that was just on the tip of my tongue. I can't remember it, but I'll come back to it. We would agree with all of those. We would even say we know all of those. But if we were in the shop and someone gave us change of a £20 note instead of a £10 note, how many of us would say, hold on a wee second, would you just double check that you give me the right change? I think I only gave you £10. How many of us would go, I get £10. I can go and blow that on a cup of coffee and a burger, probably is about what all of them get you now. That's stealing. And yet I know of Christians and even pastors that rejoice whenever that happens. And say, oh, that doesn't matter because that's a huge store. But it does matter because you're a little person and you just committed a sin. One that God said you shouldn't. That is an opportunity for you to become a thief or to become a preacher whenever you make the things that you believe come out of your hands and your feet. When you do what you believe instead of doing what's convenient. Separation from what you know and what you do. Separation of the believers. That's a great problem these days. We've already seen the world, the flesh and the devil trying to do it. And I'm not saying that every person that you know that is a saved soul is going to be fit company for you. Some of the people that we know, we still have to minister to lift up, to help, to grow, to protect. But there are some people out there that might well be saved, but that are subscribing to the likes of Rick Warren and the Purpose Driven Church movement. And you couldn't fellowship with them. You couldn't talk to them about the deeper things in the Bible. You couldn't say, this still applies to us today, because they don't believe it. If it's not giving them a good time, if it's not filling their pockets with money, if it doesn't let them live their lives whichever way they want to live it, they're not interested. So how would you gather 100 of them together to go out and track a housing estate? Because that would be too inconvenient. That just wouldn't suit them. That would cut into their TV time or their football time or their something other time. Yes, there are people we just have to hold at arm's length, even as Christians. But as Christians that love the Lord, that have trusted in Christ and Christ alone as their Savior, that believe the words of the King James Bible and are prepared to stand by those when the whole world says something different, those are our brethren. Those are the people that we can join with and that we can make things happen with, that we can be married to, that we can fellowship with, that we can confide in, that we can help and lift up. Separation from the brethren has hurt a lot of the churches and a lot of the families in the churches. And we need to be careful of that. We already mentioned the Lord said, be in church. There's a remedy. And it's about drawing close to God first. We can't go out and save the world if we are lost. In fact, that even reminds me of the words of a missionary hundreds of years ago who found himself in the bottom of a boat in the middle of a storm in fear of his life. And I think there were brethren or Quakers or something else there, people that were saved, and they were in the depths of the boat and they were praying. And he said, I am going to save the heathen, but who is going to save me? He realized that the God that he had trusted was not the God of the Bible, and it just wasn't working. And we need to make sure that we are working, that we have trusted God, that we are clinging to God, that we are learning about God. This is not the bit that Christians normally love, because there's normally so much going on in this world, but people, especially Christians, don't want to or can't refuse to spend time in God's Word. I don't know about you, the Lord promised that His mercies are new every morning. That's because we need them every morning. We need to know that we're not alone, that He has us in the palm of His hand. We need to make the Word of God as much part of our life as the newspaper is, or what YouTube says, or what somebody tweeted on Twitter. We need the company of like-minded believers. And I'm going to tell you a story about a wee woman that lived until she was nearly 96 years old. 96. That's nearly a lifetime and a half for a lot of people. One of the things that she mentioned from time to time was, "Mark, sometimes it's a curse. Because all of my family is gone. I'm the last one." And God knows that we have that need for brothers and sisters in Christ. God knows that we have that need for relationships. And if you are with a thriving church family, people that will act like a mother or a brother or a sister, you will have that family. Whether you're 9 or 19 or 90, you will always have a family. That means something, friends. That means something. We need that. As far as who should be in your family, if you have to relax your standards, if you have to compromise your stand on the Word of God to fit in with people, well, you should be thinking twice about who you call a brother or a sister. But if you are keeping company with those that encourage you to live more for Christ, that help you in your walk with Christ, well then, that sounds like a good brother or sister. It's a little bit like, has anyone heard of the Williams sisters in tennis? Does that narrow it down? Serena and, what do you call the other one? Venus and Serena. I think there's a film out about it, isn't there? And what they did was they got the best tennis players to play against them. Their dad was big into it. He pushed and pushed and pushed. And they literally became like firebrands in the tennis, I was going to say industry, but that's really what it is. Whenever you want to improve yourself as a sportsman, you play against better people. You train with better people. You push yourself harder. And that's how you become a better Christian. You keep company with good people. Best is the Word of God. But you keep company with good people. Lastly, and then I'll quit for the day. Well, at least for this part of it. Is you keep the Word of God close. And that, I don't know if you've ever heard about the stories of soldiers in World War II that had the Bible close to their chest in a little steel case. At least one of them was saved from a shot to the heart by the bullet hitting the Bible in the steel case. And it's good to have a Bible on you if you can read those tiny little words. But it's even better to have the Bible in you. Because it is that in there working on you, that's the power of God working in your heart that will keep you from sin. Psalm 119 verse 11 tells us, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." It's God's word and sticking to it that separates the sheep from the goats. That shows people whether you're for real or not. Walking with God or just walking with God on a Sunday morning. And I want to say to you, don't be afraid. Church is a wonderful place. It's a place where you can grow. It's not a place where you come to show how perfect you are. It's a place you come to because you know you're not perfect. And you never know, you might hear something of a morning that will help you overcome an obstacle. Don't be afraid to tell God in your private prayers, God, I'm having a problem. I'm having a difficulty here, Lord, would you please help me? Because we all are at some stage in our lives or other. Some of them are a little bit more difficult to overcome than others, but God will listen to you and he will show you how to overcome. Isaiah 40 and 31, they that wait upon the Lord will mount up with wings as eagles, run and not be weary, shall walk and not faint. The Lord will help you to overcome. Let your practice and your application of your Christianity reflect what's going on in your heart and mind. And you will find that just like magnets and metal, other Christians, other believers will be attracted to you. They will come to you, gravitate to you. I'm going to close with a wee verse of scripture here. It's from Ecclesiastes, and it took me a long time to find it. It's in Ecclesiastes 4, and it talks about people coming against us. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And the threefold cord is not quickly broken. That's the promise of God. If you look up at the back of the church, you'll see on the notice board, top left, two advertisements that went into the local papers a few years back. And they cost probably £600 or £700 between the two of them. Too much for me to pay out to get them up there. But with everybody in the church pitching in, we were able to put, at Christmas, a few years back, and consecutive years, full page advertisements, inviting people to think about their eternity. It pays to stick together, but it pays to stick together with Jesus Christ. I'm going to stop there. Thank you for your good. God bless you. I want to have a closing hymn and then we'll be dismissed. I'm going to pick one this time. Hymn number 137, 137 in the big books. Well, stands we sing in times like these. 137 in times like these.
Like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, we
time and attention. I know sometimes it can be a bit of an endurance test, but I appreciate your time and attention and your presence. I pray you all have a good day. I look forward to seeing you again soon. The doors will be open at 7. Nope, today, 6:30. And anyone that needs lifts and things from me, I will keep you up to date on what's happening. I would appreciate your indulgence in offering me that extra 30 minutes of your evening. But anyway, let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this time around your word and for the freedom that we have to spend. Please bless us as we go our separate ways, Lord. Please see us safely home. We love you and thank you. Amen. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed.